the United States first. In the Daily News, it focuses incessantly on Donald Trump's latest outrage. I wonder sometimes, is that in fact the point of Trump? An deliberate decoy from the true work of this administration. Trump, he unfolds minute by minute, news cycle by news cycle. Others are playing a longer game. Now, one man in particular, Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the Senate, a Republican, described by some as Trump's enabler-in-chief. They are an odd couple, Felix and Oscar. Maybe, though, Mitch McConnell's charmed coattails run is hitting some bumps. March 13, Trump called a national emergency, as you recall. Now, instead of insisting that Republicans hang in the Congress to work out a pandemic package, McConnell flew home to Kentucky. It was sort of domestic politics. What was then put together was rejected by Democrats. The New York Times blamed McConnell directly for this, and that recent history is repeating. The Senate's due to take a break imminently, and that'll put a slew of COVID legislation on hold. To discuss, joined once more by Dan McCarthy, columnist for US Spectator magazine, editor of Modern Age, a conservative review. Daniel, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, what do you make of that pairing?
Well, they are indeed quite the odd couple. Donald Trump is extemporaneous. He is a source of creative chaos, you might say. Mitch McConnell, on the other hand, is nothing if not methodical. He's a portrait in self-control, and he tends to be rather taciturn. People don't know what he's thinking until he's already made his decision and put it into effect.
Who has the end game there, do you think? Who has their sights on a prize?
Well, they each have a style that has worked very successfully for them. Mitch McConnell is a remarkable survivor in Washington, D.C. He's someone who's been able to hang on to power in the Republican Party and within the Senate, even as in the House of Representatives, you've seen a number of Republican leaders rise and fall very quickly. So that's an unusual accomplishment right there. And then Donald Trump, of course, is a sort of wholly new phenomenon in American politics and has upended it.
I mean, that which makes it an interesting relationship in normal times, and one could see the sense in McConnell and the Republican Party generally swinging so resolutely behind Trump. But whether this current circumstance starts to show some daylight between these two parties, is there any possibility that the GOP is going to start to just distance itself somewhat from the president?
Well, you're seeing a little bit of that, especially with all of the COVID-19 chaos. Republicans are not sure whether the president's path is going to be one that winds up being popular or unpopular, and we've seen the polls sway a little bit. And so a lot of Republicans are being quite cautious and trying to insulate themselves from any kind of effects at the national level. On the other hand, this can also work the other way around, where Donald Trump, in many cases, is more popular than some of the Republicans in the states. Even, in fact, in Kentucky, where Mitch McConnell is from, President Trump is much more popular than McConnell is.
This is interesting, because McConnell is potentially in some trouble, is he not, in his home state?
Well, he's not really. He's pretty safely going to be reelected. However, if he were to cross Donald Trump, then all bets would be off.
Strikes me as a continually interesting balance, and there must be many conservatives in the US, and perhaps of McConnell's stamp, just increasingly uneasy about this relationship. And perhaps, and I wonder why this hasn't happened, as did happen with Nixon. Nixon was called out by Republicans, but they seem reluctant now to do that to Trump, despite this damage that's being done currently through this pandemic.
Well, I guess there are two points there. The charges that were brought against Donald Trump, the impeachment charges, were not as open and shut as the charges against Richard Nixon. So even though, Democrats would tell you otherwise, I think very few Republicans found the case against Trump persuasive. And even beyond that, of course, the Republicans had a large enough margin in the United States Senate that in order for Democrats to get a conviction, they would have had to convince something like 19 Republicans to switch sides. That's a very tall order, and you need very, you know, sort of concrete proof of something that was really a crime and not just an impropriety in order to get that. The other thing is that, again, you know, the way COVID-19 is going to work out is still, I think, up in the air. And sure. Right now, the Republicans are taking a beating over it. But, you know, if you see a very strong recovery later in the year, you may very well see Republicans start to all have a warm and fuzzy feeling about Donald Trump.
Timing will be key, of course. McConnell in the Senate and his conduct there, not only in this administration, but in the previous, has been, I was going to use the word obstructive, but perhaps that's a little harsh, but some level charge at him that he damages the very working of that House itself. And this current push for a break now, while there's a slew of legislation pending, I mean, you know, he's not a facilitator of the process, you'd have to say.
Well, Democrats don't like the fact that McConnell is very effective at what he does. And he's been compared to Lyndon Johnson, who was another kind of master of Senate procedures, in terms of his ability to, first of all, get accurate vote counts and to know how a vote is going to turn out. But second of all, in his ability to use the mechanisms of the Senate, whether it's taking a holiday or using any other procedure that he likes, to get the optimal environment for his own agenda. So his enemies are, you know, sort of doubly unhappy with him because on the one hand, obviously they oppose him, but then also they have to concede that he is indeed a master of what he does.
It's a tricky game though, isn't it, in these circumstances where suddenly the political stakes are so concrete. It's not just pure politics. These are issues of life and death. And two instances now where the Senate has stood between legislation and outcomes which could potentially save lives or save jobs. It's a risky strategy.
Well, it's not so likely to save lives. It is. There are jobs on the line. And of course, Republicans and Democrats have very different views on what's necessary to save jobs. Republicans, I think, are quite right to be concerned that if you make some of the benefits too high and too supportive, then what you'll wind up doing is actually disincentivize people going back to work when it is safe to go back to work. So there's a negotiation and a balance to be struck here. And the tendency is for Democrats to have a better publicity machine right now in promoting their views. But I think you can't be surprised, certainly, that Republicans want to take a different approach than the Democrats do.
Can we go to the 2020 race? Justin Amash, and I hope I got the pronunciation right there, the Libertarian potential candidate has pulled out. Can you explain the logic in that? Why would he walk away? He looked convincing. He looked plausible.
Well, Justin Amash is a congressman. Formerly, he was a Republican. He left the Republican Party in order to vote in favor of impeachment for Donald Trump. So he joined the Democrats on that vote. And he subsequently declared himself to be a member of the Libertarian Party, which is a tiny party with no federal office holders except now for Justin Amash. And he set himself up very nicely to become the party's presidential nominee. And Amash hails from the state of Michigan, which is expected to be a battleground between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And so there's a chance that because of the sort of home state appeal, that Justin Amash could have drawn a significant number of voters away from either Trump or from Biden, and actually had an effect on the outcome of the election. He wouldn't have become president himself, but he could have been sort of a spoiler for one of the major party candidates.
That's an almost traditional role, is it not, for Libertarian candidates in those contests?
It is, except with Amash, it was perhaps even more likely than usual. There's always this hope among Libertarians that they'll get some leverage by opposing the risk of being a spoiler. But normally, the Libertarian candidate just doesn't have that kind of focused impact upon a battleground state. Whereas Amash potentially could have. I'm actually skeptical that he would have, but it's at least something that you can imagine. And I think what happened is that Democrats became very worried that Amash was going to take more votes from Biden than from Trump and possibly turn the state to Trump's advantage. And as a result, I think Amash got some pressure from his new friends to drop out of the Libertarian Party race.
He's a seriously geeky candidate, though, isn't he?
He is. This is someone who can give you a disquisition on Friedrich Hayek at the drop of a hat. And he's someone who likes very much talking about constitutional protocol and the ins and outs of what the founders intended. And he's not necessarily, the greatest retail politician, but he is someone who's a very professorial real kind of statesman.
I mean, is there a constituency in the United States, I mean, regardless of belief, who may not be small-L libertarians of the Amash cut, who nonetheless warmed that sort of intellectualism in their politics?
The thing is, there are rather few people who are willing to take a gamble on that when they think the stakes are as high as they are in a Biden versus Trump election. Just as 4 years ago, the libertarians thought they would have a pretty good chance, you know, of at least getting some attention. But in fact, the Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump election was so polarizing and felt to be so important on all sides that there was really very little room for a third party or for another voice.
So backing away because he might be successful, I think that's...
It's one of the ironies of politics.
we will file that in the annals of great unusualness. Dan, look, thank you so much. And LNL regular that you are, we will speak again shortly.
Thank you.
Dan McCarthy, columnist for Spectator USA, editor of Modern Age, a conservative review. This is Late Night Live, Radio National.